All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Crypto Creamers and another episode of
Keep It Simple Bitcoin.
Yeah, there we go. What's up, guys? How you doing? Anyways, I've never kind of done this before. I usually like ask my guests like what the fuck, who he is, what he's doing about. This is more like a collab. So we're just gonna talk mad shit for, you know, for whatever until we get bored. So what's up, man? How's your quarantine been?
Oh, it's been great. Calm, it's easy. I like it. I don't mind.
Really?
I get shit done. Yeah.
Dude, I got fucking butchered, man. I lost like 60% of like my retail fucking customers. They just couldn't pay up anymore, bro.
That's terrible.
Suck balls.
Terrible. Yeah, what I've experienced the same thing with one of my businesses, but you know, you gotta take it to the chin and keep it moving. I mean, the whole planet's affected, right? So what are you gonna do?
Exactly. But I do agree with you. It is kind of calm. It is kind of like nice to like, you know, have an excuse to stay at home and just do nothing.
No, I mean, I've been doing plenty of shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been still making the videos and yeah, doing plenty of stuff. I mean, I'm not getting bored. So you just got to make the best of it, you know?
Yeah, that's what's up. So let me pull up your... Just pull up your website, man. Let's show everyone who Keep It Simple Bitcoin is. Let's go to the homepage. First of all, this is a dope website. It's better than mine.
That's a good cold card video.
Did you make this yourself? Yeah, dude. So how did that work? Like, did you contact them? Did they like your work? Because I've also I did one tutorial for them, which was basically how to show your cold card balance on the Blue Wallet, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before they added that functionality. But I know how does that relationship work with them?
Oh, they we were going back and forth. They liked the videos. And so they wanted me to make specific videos for, you know, per feature, and they can use it however they want. Yeah. So sure as they add features, we'll make more videos. But you know, I'm a big fan of their product. I'm a big fan of, you know, how they run the company, and so you know, I made the videos from the get-go because I like the product. Like, I don't make videos about shit that I don't like, and there's a ton of shit out there that I don't like. Keep It Simple is just all about helping people find quality Bitcoin
tutorials.
Software, hardware. Yeah, just to find quality stuff. Like, I want all my videos to even if it's indirectly, help people to understand like why your privacy is important, why doing certain things are important, you know, why Bitcoin is important for certain, you know, it's like, no, I'm not jamming it down their throat, but it's like, look, this is how you want to set up your wallet, and these are the things you need to consider, because most people do not consider most of these things. Especially when they're new into Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin's a difficult thing to grok. Are you familiar with the term grok?
I am not, no.
So grok is, it's from a very famous sci-fi book by Richard Heinlein. I think it's called Stranger in a New Land. And so it's basically like, if you understand something like in your bones, in your DNA, like you understand the fullness of it in all aspects, all encompassing, it's like, I don't know, similar to like love, you know, it's like you understand something so fully, deeply, completely, absolutely. And unfortunately, Bitcoin is the type of thing where there's so many different things that you have to understand that the deeper you go into the rabbit hole, like you got to step your game up. Otherwise you just are at the mercy of someone else. You're at the whim of someone else, right? You have to trust what someone else is telling you about how it works or what to do or whatever. So I want to give people the tools to do that themselves. And then whatever they take from the video, maybe they'll go learn about some other aspect of Bitcoin, or it will spark something for them and they can go along their journey.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I think that, you know, I think that the rabbit hole analogy is so cool. That's a really interesting word. I've never heard of it before, but yeah, man, it that journey that you have to, like, I always, like, the way that I describe it is a feedback loop. right? Because what I've noticed is that, and I was talking to Nick Campmine, and you know, and it's kind of always the same story, right? People, from my experience, people kind of get attracted to the cryptocurrency in like a world, or I say industry because I'm into mining, but to the cryptocurrency world, and they always start with like a shit coin, basically, right? Because it's like, it's faster, it's this and this and that. But once you start getting deeper into the rabbit hole, once you start understanding why Bitcoin is number one, like, why do you understand like why the hash rate is so important? Like, once you understand why decentralization is the most important aspect of a cryptocurrency, then you kind of come to this realization where like, okay, yeah, Bitcoin is basically the only game in town, right? Like everything else is like a casino, right? So, you know, like that feedback loop, what I've noticed, like with noobs or like with people, it takes a while, dude. You know, it takes a very long time. And I always say, like, you have to pay the price of tuition, right? And the price of tuition is you're going to fuck up, or you're going to lose, or you're going to trade some, you know, terrible shit coin. You're going to lose some fucking money, and you're going to learn the hard way. And that takes time, dude. And like,
yeah. Some people will, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. So, excuse me. So that, you know, hasn't been my experience, so much so that I get a little pissed that I didn't shitcoin, because back in 2016, I had people telling me, oh, what about Ethereum? What about Ethereum? And I'm telling everybody, stay away from that. Why would you want to invest in that? It's centralized. It doesn't have so many of the fundamental properties of Bitcoin. I didn't buy any. Some people did. It was like $5 or $6, right? Mm. I didn't buy any. That shit coin pumped to $1,000. I could have made so much money. And it was because of my principles, quote unquote principles, I didn't make that money. Now, I didn't do it because I did not want to invest my money, my energy into something I didn't believe in. But hey, I missed out on a ton of money. There were so many people around me that were making money shitcoining during that time, because any shitcoin you would have made money on, mm-hmm. Up to that $20,000 whatever in December, right? Everybody, dude, fucking everybody was talking about crypto. It was crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd get into a fucking taxi cab and the fucking guy's like, hey, have you heard about Bitcoin? And then you're like, okay, I need to get out right now.
Yeah, you know? It's crazy. That was wild.
It was fucking epic. But like my business, like that's where my business started to really grow, right? So, and then is around that time, right? So like my hosting business, like that's where it started to flourish around that time. Because before that, it was actually quite difficult for me. I lost a lot of money. But yeah, so I have a different story, and you know, that honestly, man, like you're one of the first people that I've heard that really got into cryptocurrency and started with Bitcoin and stuck with Bitcoin. Because like most people, what I've noticed, right, is that they get attracted to a shitcoin, and then they go through this fucking cycle of like, they come to the realization of like, okay, you know, like okay, this is why Bitcoin is the best, right? But yeah. That's really interesting. So you started, I mean, do you have a tech background or something?
I do not have a tech background. So the only shit coining I've done, and funny enough, maybe this sounds weird, I had a dream one night that I should buy Ripple.
Okay.
Right. Ripple was 15 cents, 20 cents. And I dreamt something and I should buy it and it would be good. So I was like, all right, whatever. And this was when Bitcoin was, I don't know, it was around $1,000 or something. So I was like, all right, let me put a little bit of money. I put maybe like, I don't know, a couple $100, right? Just a little bit. I was like, fuck it. Let me just put it in here. I don't know what's going to happen. And I sold that shit at $3. Now, that was the only shit coining I've done. I think Ripple is absolutely despicable. That company is the scum of the earth. But I did it on a whim. I was just like, whatever, fuck it. You know, let me see. I got lucky. That's the only shit coining I've done. And, you know, I could have lost my money. So
you played the casino. That's what I usually do.
I played the casino, yeah. But casino. I would never play the casino again. I have no interest in it. Because not only is it risky because it's a casino and all those things are built on nothing. But it's also, it's just stressful, man. Like, I don't want to be wasting my energy thinking about that shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. About like 96% of my total portfolio is purely Bitcoin, right?
Ooh, but you got 4% in some doo-doo, huh? What you got?
I have to, man. I have a vested interest, bro. I mine, dude.
What do you mine? How many different coins do you mine?
I mine mostly Bitcoin. Most of the ASICs that we have is Bitcoin. We have about 1,500 ASICs. Most of them are Bitcoin. I would say we just got a big client. I actually posted this on Twitter the other day. Most of them are S17s. We're trying to get our hands on the S19, but it's been very hard to get, believe it or not. And we have some S9s. And then the rest, we mine basically Saya coin and we mine Horizon. And I'm buddies with both the teams. So I have a vested interest in both those coins. So I hold it differently. I don't hold them like gathering dust. Like I don't put them under my bed, right? So like, now,
do you mine those because they use the same? You can use the same. You can multi-purpose the hardware, or do you have to buy?
No.
No, you invested specifically.
My clients did.
Your clients did, and you're hosting that for them.
Exactly, and I provide the electrical infrastructure, and they basically mine. I have mined them in the past, but I'm kind of weaning off and only focusing on Bitcoin lately, right? So I have a vested interest in those projects, right? Because I can't be like insincere and be like, hey, you know, mine whatever the fuck you want, because I get messages on like. I got this guy from the Netherlands. I got this guy from Venezuela, man. They come up to me. One guy was actually from the Netherlands, and this other guy is a Venezuelan living in the Netherlands. And they come up to me and they're like, hey, can I mine with you? You know? And I'm like, dude, like how much money do you have? Like I don't ask it like, you know, like how much money do you have? I ask it like in a sincere way, because if you have a total portfolio of $100,000, right? And you want to get into mining. You're wasting your time, right? Like I'm telling you right now, don't do it. You're going to spend a lot of money. You're not going to get it. If you have a portfolio of like $1 million or like $500,000, like, you know, 250, 350, and you want to put $10,000 or $20,000 of that into mining, right? Do it. It's worthwhile. But if you have $10,000 that you've saved up and you want to put that shit into ASICs, dude, I'm telling you, you're going to waste your fucking time. I learned that the hard way. So like, and I get these messages all the time. I call them my retail clients. It's basically any client that has less than 5 ASIC. So, yeah, man, I'm very honest with people. I'm very honest with people. So if someone wants to like fucking host this shitcoin fucking miner with me that I see like no fucking potential future for, I don't accept it. I'm like, dude, I you're going to waste your money. I'm very honest with people, you know, and like, that's what's helped me. The fact that I don't accept everything, right? The fact that like people trust me, like when they come to me, they know that I'm not gonna fuck them over, right? So in terms of the shit coining that I do, I don't hold any Saya coin, but I do hold Saya funds. So they basically, what that is it collects a percentage of the total Saya fees that the storage, that the network gets. So if the storage network goes, right, I'm gambling essentially. So if the storage network grows essentially, I always get a 3% fee and I don't have to pay jack shit. Just the mere fact that I hold it, I'm collecting shit, right? And then the other shitcoin, or sorry, not shitcoin, I can't say that because I'm buddies with the CEO, but altcoin that I hold is Horizon. And Horizon's the same thing. I don't hold it gathering dust. It has to be staked. So like I essentially collect an interest rate on a daily basis. I get paid, right? And that's the only reason that I would hold it. I would not hold it. It's essentially when those coins, when they give me a return, like when they give me back money, immediately I sell it into Bitcoin. So if it's not producing me money daily, right? I don't keep it because it's like, what are you doing, bro? You know? So it's like, yeah. And it's kind of like you're kind of gambling,
right? Because if one of these things hit, right? It's like same example with XRP, right? If one of these things hit, it's not that the price is going to go up and you're going to sell it one time. It's the fact that I'm going to have passive income and I don't have to do jack shit. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's an income stream. It's not a bet, right? So that's what that, so like the only altcoins that I hold is the fact that I have an income stream from them and I have a vested interest in my clients that are mining them. So if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be holding them, right? But I kind of have to be honest and I kind of have to be sincere and ethical, right? But dude, the majority of the things, 96%, bro, like, you know, like it's Bitcoin and it's always been Bitcoin. So, and I mine majority Bitcoin and I'm basically a Bitcoiner and I have like basically no money in my checking account. As soon as I get something, I go and buy Bitcoin. You know, I don't buy altcoins and good I don't like, and I don't like to speculate. I don't like to gamble. Like a lot of, you know, a lot of my friends, the reason that it's called Crypto Creamers is because it's a WhatsApp group, right? And they're like, hey, you know, like, look at this coin. Like, it's going to pump. It pumps 84%. I'm like, dude, like, just chill, relax, take it easy. You know, you're going to make a, bro, just buy Bitcoin, fucking wait 5 years, man. Like, what are you doing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about any of that. I don't even know what those coins are you were talking to me about. I focus on Bitcoin. And maybe that's to my detriment. I don't think it is, but yeah.
Yeah, so right. So the way that I see it, right, is that Bitcoin's really good at one thing, right? It's obviously like an amazing store of value. It's a better currency system, right? But like, for example, like with Ethereum, right? I don't hold any Ethereum. And the reason I don't hold any Ethereum is because it doesn't give me a return, right? And it has inflation, basically. Like there's no cap supply, right? And the centralization aspect of it is kind of sketchy, you know? So it's like, it's not 100%. But dude, Ethereum does something different than Bitcoin, right? And you can't disagree with that. Like it's true. Like it has smart contract capability. Bitcoin doesn't have that. And like the Bitcoin aspect of what they're trying to do is they're trying to add, like, I don't know if you've heard about RSK, right? Which is like, mm-hmm. like they're trying to add like that smart contract capability to the Bitcoin blockchain. In my mind, like, I don't think that's going to work out. Because the reason that Bitcoin's so great is because what it does, it's really good, it hasn't changed, and it's stayed on course for its whole existence. The moment it changes, right? That's the reason that Bitcoin Cash fucking was this whole, bro, let me pull up the fucking hash rate. It's a fucking embarrassment. And this guy, Roger Ver, is still like talking all this shit, bro. And the hash rate of Bitcoin Cash is like, dude, it's an embarrassment. Like, I don't know why the fuck the guy doesn't give up. Right? Like, let me pull this shit up. So like people could understand like why Bitcoin Cash is such shit and it's not even an argument. Look, you can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You see the hash rate of Bitcoin Cash? You see this shit? You see this shit so low? Dude.
Yeah.
The reason that Bitcoin is worth what it's worth is because of this fucking number, because of the hash rate. This is essentially the security of the chain. This, okay, so Bitcoin, basically, if you wanted to rewrite the whole chain today with Bitcoin, it would take, with the current hash power of the entire world, it would take around 544 days, give or take, right? Look at the fucking hash rate with Bitcoin Cash, man. And who do you think is mining this shit? It's Roger Ver and Jihan. So this shit is like PayPal. It's a worse version of PayPal. That's essentially what it is. Because if you look at the fucking, if you look at, and this is a big misconception, right? Because, dude, I got into this argument with this guy that works for IBM. He's like Toehammer on Twitter, and he kind of has a bigger following than I do. And bro, we went at it in terms of like XRP and Bitcoin, all this shit. He's like, bro, Bitcoin is centralized and there's only like 6 mining pools and whatever. There's a reason that there's only 6 mining pools, okay? And people don't understand that. The reason is when you're mining, okay, and you have to pay electricity bills, you're essentially, what mining is, it's you have a machine that's guessing, okay? And if you guess it right, you get rewarded, right? But if you pool, right, that's why it's called the mining pool. If you pool your resources together,
the probability of you getting lucky is higher. That's why there's only like, I think there's, I don't know, but there's like 10, 12, like 13, 14, maybe. But like you see it, you know, like you see the big ones, they have like 20% of the hash rate. But dude, that doesn't mean that they own 20% of the hardware. That means that people have chosen to put their hash rate with them because it's like a stability thing, bro. You know, you want to get you, if you're running a giant mining operation, you can't gamble with the fluctuations. You can't say I'm going to pick a pool that only has 5% of the hash rate. Dude, the probability of you getting paid is a lot less. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I completely understand what you're saying.
So hold on. Bitcoin hash rate. No, Bitcoin mining pools. Pie chart, right? Pie chart. Here we go. There we go. Okay. So I actually did a podcast with F2 Pool. I'm going to post that on Monday. Super cool, dude. And I got the fucking dude. It's so cool. I got, you know how they added that fucking message in the halving? I got the reason. I asked him, I was like, dude, like what was the deal behind that message? And he told me it was super cool. Anyways. So like, bro, like people have this fucking misconception. I want to break it right fucking now. Right. Like, dude, Bitcoin isn't fucking centralized. Why? Just because this mining pool has 20% of the pie does not mean that they control. That does not mean that they control. Like, look, it's a game theory. If they start doing some shady shit, this mining pool is just going to disappear, right? Like people aren't going to want to mine with them anymore. You're not going to want to stick with them. So they have basically, it's like a game of Mexican standoff. Like their financial incentive is to play by the rules because that means more people mine with them and then they get a bigger percentage of, you know, because they take a cut, right? They take a very small cut of what you're mining, right? So your incentive is to play by the rules because as soon as you don't play by the rules, it's like capitalism. You're going to lose that shit to your competitor. So all these guys are competing for hardware, right? So it's like mine with me, I have a lower percentage, or mine with me, I'm a more stable mining pool. I give you a better deal, right? I give you a better deal because you've bought from me or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, it's a lot of that shit. So Bitcoin is not centralized. It's becoming more decentralized by the day, right? And a really good representation of that, right, is this fucking hash rate chart, bro. This is fucking nuts. Look at Ethereum.
Who's saying it's centralized? What are you talking about?
Bro, that's a misconception that the fucking...
No. Who is saying that? Why are you bringing that up?
Bro, that's a misconception that I fucking see on Twitter all the time.
Oh, okay.
That's like a talking point that I see, that it's like basically like Bitcoin is centralized, the Chinese mining pools. Like those are the talking points. Like anyone who's a shit coiner and they fucking want to talk shit about Bitcoin, they can't understand this fucking concept. Once you look at this chart and you realize how embarrassing it is, look at the hash rate of Bitcoin, dude. Just goes up, right? Hash rate essentially means network security, right?
Right.
Because in order for you to reverse the blockchain and fucking completely rewrite it, it's going to take you a lot more time. And you know what time equals, right? Time equals money. So it's going to cost you money, energy, for you to burn, for you to rewrite or 51% the Bitcoin blockchain. Dude, it doesn't make financial sense. If you make more money if you play by the rules, right? So it forces people to play by the rules. If you look at the other coins, right? Like you look at Ethereum and you look at Bitcoin Cash, dude, they've remained the same since 2017, bro, since the top of the market. So anyone who's talking shit about Bitcoin Cash and like fucking Ethereum and all that, fuck, bro, you guys are fucking jackasses. Look at the fucking chart. Speaks for itself, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that on my Twitter. I don't engage with any people like that, so I don't experience that.
Yeah, man. I mean, dude, it's, I guess, bro, I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm following the fucking wrong people. I guess you're stuck in a
big, oh yeah, an echo chamber. I keep Twitter very, very curated for sure. I just don't want to waste time. I mean, there's just so much, there's so much noise on there, you know. I try to limit my time too on Twitter, because I was spending a lot more time on there like a year ago, and it's just a huge energy suck. If I'm not learning something from it, I force myself to go off because it's addictive. You know, a real cool life hack is if you're interacting with Twitter on your phone and you make your phone black and white, you will not be interacting with that thing nearly as much, because really? it's the blue light. It's the blue light from these LED and these digital screens that gives you that little dopamine hit. And that's why you're like, let me check my Twitter. Let me check this. Let me do that. Let me do that. When you make it black and white, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever. You know,
it's the infinite scroll, man. What people don't realize is that like these companies hire the fucking smartest engineers to like get that dopamine rush, bro. That little like little vibration when you press the like sign. And when you get likes on your shit,
go into your color settings on your phone, whatever phone you have, on your computer, make everything grayscale, and you will be spending a lot less time on your computer. I promise you.
Yeah. So personally, like I kind of agree with you. Like my girlfriend has that problem, right? Like that, like, you know, that typical problem where you scroll on Instagram. You know, I don't have an Instagram, but like,
yeah.
The reason I don't have an Instagram is because it's a total waste of time, my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. Like I use social media as a tool, right? Rather than entertainment, other than YouTube. I love YouTube and I do watch YouTube as entertainment because I think it's great entertainment. Right. But, you choose right on YouTube. Like, you know, when you watch like a podcast or when you're watching content, you're choosing what you want to consume. Right. When you're like on Instagram, right? Or when you're like on Reddit, for example, and you're just using that as entertainment, you're not choosing what you want, right? Like you're kind of being fed by the algorithm and you're being forced shit upon, and then you're consuming that. And if you don't realize that, like that shit's tailored to like exactly what you said, give you that little dopamine fix, man, you see people just living on Instagram. And before you know it, like you're 80 years old and you spent 2 years of your life scrolling.
Oh, it's a huge problem. Huge problem. And it's not even kids, it's just everybody. Yeah.
It's everybody.
Yeah, it's insane.
So I don't have an Instagram for that reason, because I think it's a total waste of time. Like it doesn't benefit me or my business at all.
Yeah.
Zero.
Smart. That's
so smart. I don't have Instagram. It's a waste of time for me. So I only use I am on Twitter quite a bit, but I use it. Like I engage with people, you know?
Right.
So like I see it as a tool. Right.
Yeah, it's fantastic for that reason. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely, I agree.
It's like a free promotion, dude. It's promotion, right? And like YouTube too, man. It's like it's promotion, right? It's amazing, and it like gets people to like connect with each other. So like, if you use Twitter, right, instead of if you're like a lurker, and if you're there, okay, fine, but do it to like get information, get content from people, right? Because Twitter's very useful for in that sense, right? But if you're just there like scrolling endlessly. You know, yeah, dude, it's a waste of time. Absolutely. Completely agree with you. You're just wasting your fucking time. But if you know, like, if you're aware of it, yeah, bro. So, dude, I wanted to get your opinion on something. And this kind of happened the other day, right? So let me share my screen again. Because we've already established that you're a hyper Bitcoiner. Now I feel ashamed that I'm not, but...
I'm being honest. You're a capitalist. You're making money. You're doing things to make money. As long as you're not scamming anybody. I don't know anything about those shit coins. I hope they're not.
I'm honest, man. I'm honest and yeah. I'm transparent, right? And we've had a conversation prior to recording, you know, that we kind of already established how important that is, right? Yeah, man, like, look, so this happened the other day, right? And this basically happened. So All-Star Mine basically had a one Bitcoin giveaway. And basically what he did was, and I'm sure you heard about it, he basically gave 8 words of a 12 word seed, right? Look, with 8 known words, there are 1.1 trillion possibilities, right? Possible mnemonics. So he gave away the 8 words. And he basically left that one Bitcoin in a wallet and someone brute forced it in 30 hours.
How do you feel about that? Oh, and by the way, they paid a they paid a 0.01 mining fee. They paid an astronomical mining fee because they wanted that reward so fast, you know?
30 hours. Yeah, well, I know that is it with a 24 word seed? If you split your seed up, or maybe it's a 12 word, if you split your seed up even in half, if they get one half, it is way easier to guess the other half.
Like it's exactly not half as easy to brute force it, even with the 24 word, right? So if you keep 12 words in one place, then you keep 12 words in the other place, it's exactly half as easy to guess the phrase.
I thought it was more than that. I thought you had greater probability once you had a certain amount of words. I don't know enough about it technically. But keep your shit tight. Don't fucking, yeah. Okay.
It's just super interesting. Like, look, look, my MacBook was only able to check 1,000 per second. It would have taken 25 years, bro. So this dude, right, the guy that got the reward, good for him. He had to rent out some fucking GPUs, man. He had to rent out some fucking server space and just dedicated all that to just brute forcing.
Right? Did it say how much he spent?
Doesn't say. I thought it was a super interesting ported all. Oh, no, I mean, this guy explained it. I haven't written this art. I haven't
read this. He spent $350. That's it.
That's crazy. $75 for free from Azure. So $350 worth of renting, right? By the way, these GPUs are no joke. I'm sure he fucking rented some fucking 280 Ti's or some crazy shit, right? So yeah, man, that's so interesting. So I had this guy, what's his name? So I had this guy on the podcast the other day. Dude, and bro, we were fucking talking about AI and like the future of AI and all that shit. And dude, it was just like, and I was like, man, it was so funny, dude. I asked him like, are you a fan of Bitcoin? He's like, I wish I had some more. So like, I thought that was so funny. So I was like, dude, like we're definitely in the right space, bro. Because if this super fucking mathematician that's like dedicated his life to like artificial intelligence is like into Bitcoin, like, you know what's up.
So what did you guys talk about?
Dude, I talked to him about, you know what? I have the fucking questions so I could tell you. No, this is the Crypto Cloaks guy. Oh, I think it's on my Mac. Okay, here it is. So I basically asked him, you know, what are you doing during the quarantine? Like the basic shit. What is the current state of AI? What is the difference of how the human brain would solve a problem and how AI solves a problem? Can you talk about the dangers of AI? That was a really interesting response. He launched a study on intellectology, which is like basically the combination of like all these sciences that study AI, but he wanted to combine them because it was very difficult. Because like the problem, like when people were studying AI in academia, is that a lot of these sciences crossed over, but because there was no like standard whatnot, like people were doing the same amount of, their people were researching the same thing, but in different departments. So like, it was like, this is like a combination of those studies. And then I asked him like, my personal belief, like this is the reason that I brought this up, which is basically my personal belief is that passwords will eventually become obsolete because of the increasing capacity of computers to brute force in seconds any passwords that a human could reasonably remember. And then he, part of his studies are in biometrics. So I'm like, do you think biometrics will replace passwords, right? And then he was talking about like, forget about fingerprints, bro. This guy was talking about every single thing that you do like on a subconscious level. And then like, you can't mimic that, right? Cause like we have AI right now. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen those deep fake videos on the internet.
Yeah. So he's saying that it could be so powerful that they could just they could just play out all the probabilities of all those things?
They can't. That's what he was saying. He's saying that they cannot. You cannot totally mimic a human being's like antics. And it's so precise that it's like they can identify you just by you. You know, like you scratch your face in a specific way. It's a habit that you've had the whole life. That specific thing is like it's a sign that it's you. It's so biometric. And like he was explaining that to me and I was like, holy shit. And then I asked him like the basic question, like, who's your favorite AI character from like movies? And I was like, dude, like, you know, I kind of feel bad, you know, because I'm like, you know, like what everyone thinks of AI, they think of like the Terminator and the Matrix and like all that shit. Like what are your feelings about, like, I kind of feel like an idiot asking you that question, but like, what do you feel about? And he's like, his response was super clever. He was like, he's like, I don't have anything against the Terminator reference. It's like good for noobs. So like, it was super interesting. Man, that was that was super interesting podcast. The guy is like a fucking genius, man. You could tell this guy just like fucking super interesting guy.
Do you watch TV?
No, I do not. I don't watch TV at all. Mm-hmm. No, I only watch, like the only entertainment I consume is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So like I love like obviously everyone loves Joe Rogan, right? But you know, like that type of stuff. But like, what type of TV are you talking about?
Well, because there's a great show about this. It's called it's on Hulu. It's called I just watched it. It's really good. It's about this company, like an Apple type company that develops this quantum computer, and it's able to through probability map out like all space and time. And so you can see all the time probabilities into the future and into the past.
What's the name of the show?
Let me find it. I'll tell you right now. It's great, dude. It's called Devs.
Okay.
Devs on Hulu. Yeah.
Devs. Yeah, so it's actually really interesting you said that, because so he said, I'm like, I asked him a stupid question, right? Which was a stupid question, like, what are the potential benefits of AI? And he's like, once we get to human level intelligence, like the benefits are endless. Like he's like, mortality, cure cancer, like anything. Like, and I was just like, I was mind blown. I was like, holy shit. And that reminds me of like what you're saying, you know? And it's like, that's so true, dude. Like once you get to that level of like fucking intelligent, cause like, think about it. Right. And the way that he said it was really smart. Like, think about it. Like a human needs to like sleep, eat, you're tired, right? Your brain's not like, you know, like, dude, it's like my third podcast today. So I'm fucking exhausted. Right. Like you're not at your top level all the time. A computer doesn't get tired, bro. So think about it. Like you spend like what, 6 hours a day sleeping, or 5 hours a day sleeping. Right? Computer could spend 24 hours a day thinking about the same problem without getting tired, bored, hungry, sleepy, you know, all the basic things that we have in the human condition. The computer could just do that. And then when he said, like, it's like, basically we could solve mortality. I was just like, holy shit. Like,
you know, it's funny because, Are you aware of like how Elon Musk has been warning about like AI and how dangerous it could be, right? So it's funny because I notice, you know, in society, you have a lot of people. I'm not saying you're doing this, but I'm just speaking to like generally a lot of people who glorify like computers and AI and like melding with technology, right? It's like this pinnacle of like achievement and like betterment. But just like Homeboy was talking about, mapping out and probabilizing like subconscious activities. Like, what about all the amazing things that like humans can do that people don't even understand, like psychics and like people that can, you know, like tell the future? Now, maybe you don't believe in that, but there are people who have had experiences where someone else has maybe said something and it's come true, right? Or there's so many things in the world. There are some people who remember other lives. There was this, I remember reading years ago, this kid in India who remembered another life, and obviously no one believes, well, a lot of people don't believe in that shit, but he was like, okay, I'm going to tell you where I was buried, and this is exactly blah, 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 blah. And they went and they dug the shit up, and it was exactly like he said. And the kid was like 7 or 8 years old. I don't remember specifically, but what about all those things? Like, there's so many, and you know, like, quote unquote, like, amazing things that humans can do, yet our society is so hyped on like becoming computers and becoming robots. Like, it's so amazing. And I think there's so many benefits to that, but I'm not personally, like, I'm just not down with it, because right now, every computer that we use and every system that we use it's like, if you were concerned about someone being able to read your thoughts, how would that make you feel?
Yeah.
Like, literally, right? So that's what can be done right now with everything that we do digitally. And so, you know, we take precautions and we do things privately and blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't matter, because fundamentally the system has holes. And even if we plug those holes, there may be, like, we don't know where those holes are. So it's a tricky thing, you know, it's a real tricky thing, because that kind of stuff can be used against you to subdue you, to fuck you over so easily that it's a very dangerous thing. And I'm curious to see how it evolves in the world, because a lot of people are going to be like, chip me up, you know, put that neural net shit on me. But you don't know how that's going to affect you. Like, you have no idea. You have no idea how it could be used against you, like, in a nefarious way, purposefully, or maybe even not. Maybe accidentally it just fucks your shit up, you know? Like, they're going to be guinea pigs. They're going to be people who get, so it's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tricky. I mean, so, like, I think that, like, what you're talking about is that, like, third eye type of thing, right? So it's, like, the best analogy that I can give you is, like, humans kind of have this innate ability when someone's looking at them, right? So, like, you could feel it, right? And let me give you an actual real-life example of what you're talking about, right? Which is, like, we glorify exactly what you said. We glorify like this AI and development of things, but I don't think we fully understand the capacity of the human brain and what it's capable of. Right. And this AI guy admitted that. He's like, we don't fully understand that. We don't fully get it. And he talked about the dangers, right? But more interestingly, I'm going to give you another example, because I love that India, that kid with India. And I completely believe it, because when I was little, I was very lucky to have traveled to Africa when I was younger. I was very young, dude. I was very lucky, very fortunate. And we went to like Zambia or Zimbabwe or some crazy shit, bro. And I kid you not, okay, I swear this is a real story. We kind of went like on those like prototypical safaris, and you got in the car and whatever. And you have this white South African, right? And you have like an African, but like, man, he's like legit. This guy grew up in a tribe, in a village, like in the Sahara, like, no, not in Sahara, like in the, you know, like in the, I forget what the word is.
Bush?
The bush type of thing, exactly. The guy was barefoot. He didn't wear shoes. And he was the tracker, right? And he sat in the side seat. And the white South African, he kind of looks at him and he says, like, I forget what his name is, right? But he looks at him, he's like, where are the elephants? Like, in that like South African accent. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I swear to God, bro, this guy gets out of the car, walks a couple feet, like the tribesman, the African guy, puts his finger on the ground, smells it. He gets back in the car, in totally serious fakes, he looks at him, he's like, elephants 2 miles that way.
Oh, that's so cool.
We drive 2 miles and the fucking elephants are there, bro.
That's awesome.
Like, what the fuck is that? Is that smell? Is that like an innate sense? Like, what the fuck? You can't explain that with science. You know what I mean? Like, is that perception? Is that smell? Like, is he connected to the fucking, like, nature?
Yeah, man, yeah. What's going on? There's so many things. Yeah, there's so many amazing things that people can do and people experience. And, it's, you know, this is – I'm going to make a segue back to Bitcoin, because something like that, like, you telling me an experience like that, it doesn't matter how well you can describe it to me. It's something you experienced, and unless I experience it, I can't really understand it. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Bitcoin. Like, people think they can vomit Bitcoin on other people and they're going to gobble it up and just feel the same way about it. But it's like it's so many different experiences that get you to a point where you're even receptive to try to understand it. And everyone looks at Bitcoin differently. There are some people who look at it as like an investment. There are some people who look at it as a way to change the world. There's some people who look at it as just faster. Like, it can be anything to anyone, right? Marty Bent, he's said it a bunch of times. I haven't heard him say it in a while, but I really liked it because, like, I feel like he gets it. Like, he gets it on like a whole nother level. He describes it like Bitcoin is this pillar of light in the middle of the town, and people are just attracted to it, and people are just coming toward this thing, right? And I get him, because I can feel and see what he's talking about, because people are coming toward that light because somehow they vibe with that frequency. And people don't have to vibe with that frequency. Everyone isn't going to vibe for that frequency, but it's so powerful that it's this like it's like gravity, right? It's like pulling people toward this thing, this amazing thing. And it's the more people that kind of focus their attention on it, the more that like pillar of light grows until it just encompasses the whole planet. So, yeah. So it's cool to hear other people talk about Bitcoin in kind of unique ways. Because it's funny about the Bitcoin podcast scene, like, I'm not knocking on anybody. And maybe I've just been in this space for 5 years now, right? But it's just like, it's the same. It's just the podcasts kind of get repetitive. Mm-hmm. People keep just talking about the same stuff. I really like, shout out to a John Vallis. I really like his stuff because you can tell the dude's very introspective. He's done a bunch of psychoactive substances. And so he's very much into the economic aspect of it and like the world-changing aspect of it. But then sometimes he'll kind of go deep on some just like hippie type shit, which I love.
On a psychological level. Yeah. So yeah,
because you get to hear and see people talk about it from a different perspective, and that's really cool.
Absolutely. I mean, dude, the way that you described it was excellent. I completely agree. I think the quote for one of the best quotes, right, is like, I'm going to quote The Matrix on this. And basically, I think it was the second one, which is basically like Captain whatever, the guy that was with Niobe or whatever. He looks at Morpheus and he's like, Morpheus, not everyone believes what you believe, right? And then Morpheus looks at him and he says, my beliefs don't require them to. And that right. quote perfectly encapsulates what Bitcoin is. Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
what you said is so true. Like, everyone sees it the way they want to see it. Right. But their perception, right, which is just a great way of saying it. It's like, man, the fact that you weren't there, I could tell you that story, but it doesn't do it justice. Right. So it's like, so when it comes to Bitcoin, everyone sees it from their particular angle. Right. And their particular life experience. Right. How old they are when they first and saw Bitcoin, what they were going through financially, what they weren't going through financially. Venezuela is a great example. I'm Venezuelan, dude. So people use it over there as a lifeboat.
Oh, that's amazing. People use
that over here as a fucking investment to get rich, man. So you see this Venezuelan over there that has a fucking 5-year-old miner, and that miner is making him enough Bitcoin
to feed his whole fucking family because of hyperinflation. If you run that miner here, you're losing money. So what you said completely encapsulates what Bitcoin is. It's like an it's a shared experience. It's like, I love that analogy that you said. It's like the shining light in the center.
Well, that's Marty Bent's analogy. I mean, I'm just quoting what he said, and that's how he saw it. And I really liked the way that he put that into words, because I really agree with it. Like, I like it. And yeah, he said it a bunch of times. He used to talk about it more back in the day. I haven't heard him talk about it lately.
Yeah, so it's excellent. It's a great fucking analogy, because that's exactly what it is. What Bitcoin is, different things to different people. And wherever you are in the world, I remember, dude, this one kid, he was so happy that he got to like 0.0, he got to 0.1 Bitcoin, right? And it's like, you're living in the West and you're like, that's not significant. But bro, if you're living in like Bangladesh, or you're living in fucking, you know, like an impoverished country, dude, that's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of fucking money. Like, people don't realize that here, because the cost of living is so fucking high, especially if you live in a big city, right? Yeah. But it's like, man, if you live in these impoverished countries, bro, these people are living on a dollar a day, right? And like, what Bitcoin does, it creates this level playing field, right? Because like, what a lot of like Bitcoiners have, like this misconception, right, is that the world, that the dollar is going to hyperinflate. Okay, hold on, dude. The dollar can't hyperinflate. Can I tell you why? Because the dollar is the world's reserve currency. That's number one. And there's this shady deal with the Saudis that we agreed upon in the 1970s. It's called the petrodollar, right? So if you want to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, which has the purest oil, right? The oil that's easiest to refine, you can only do it in dollars. Right. And the deal was, if the United States set up that deal with Saudi Arabia, we would sell them weapons in dollars. Right. So it's like, if you want to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, if you're Russia, if you're India, if you're whatever, guess what you need? You need dollars. Right. And then we're the world's reserve currency. So what does that mean? That means if you're Brazil and you want to trade with Panama, guess what currency you're going to use to trade? Dollars. So you're going to need to have an account at the New York Fed. Even though that has nothing to do, you're not even interacting with the United States, but you're still using the dollar in the transaction. That's how powerful the dollar is. So what does that what does that allow us to do as a country? We outsource our debt, dude. This whole thing with the $3 trillion printed, what people don't understand is that the United States didn't get poorer. We made the whole world poorer. We made the whole world take on our debt. Because right now there's a dollar crisis. People want dollars, bro. People want fucking dollars. The whole country, the whole world wants dollars right now. It's like it's needed, right? So it's crazy. And like, Bitcoiners have this misunderstanding where it's like the dollar's gonna inflate, hyperinflate. Yeah, that might be the case in the future. But like, dude, it's impossible right now, because the whole world uses dollars to transact. And what the US government does, and this is why I have so much hope for Bitcoin, what the US dollar does is it fucking weaponizes it in the form of sanctions that I'm sure that you've heard on the news, right? So if the US dollar, if the US doesn't like Venezuela, is a great example, or the US doesn't like Iran, right? We put sanctions. You know what that means? That means that you, as a country, you could no longer interact with the global financial system anymore, because the whole global financial system works on dollars. So we weaponize it, dude. We weaponize it. Like, we weaponize the currency. I say we because we live in the United States. The United States weaponizes the dollar to like get its political goals. I don't think that's going to be the case in the future, because I think there's going to be like a breaking point where it's like, dude, Bitcoin, and it's kind of like, it's weird because it's not capitalistic, but it's like, it's kind of like for the people, but at the same time, it's not socialistic either, because it's very capitalist. It's very strange, but it's like Bitcoin.
Well, I don't think Bitcoin, you know, it's tricky. Regarding the hyperinflation, I mean, we could get into that, but I don't think even people need to be so concerned about that and the mechanics. It's more about loss of purchasing power, which we're already seeing. So this printing is creating less purchasing power per unit of currency, right?
Absolutely, man. But it's very slight, okay? It's very slight.
That's slight because like meat prices, certain food prices. So you're seeing it already, but I think it's, I mean, you know, there, I listen to a lot of financial podcasts and it's kind of hard to tell when it will take place and how much money they're going to be printing. Like there's so many, it's so complicated and I'm not an expert on that at all, but regarding Bitcoin, let's talk about Bitcoin and,
the reason I brought that up is because it's so essential. You know what I mean? Like that's what everyone talks about, right?
You know, Bitcoin is for the people because of the asymmetry of power and security. You know, I can hold $100 million in Bitcoin securely, and I don't require the same amount of force, security, money, infrastructure to guard it, right?
You could do whatever you want with it, bro. You can cross a border.
However, it doesn't mean that this is going to be like kumbaya and everybody's going to get pulled up because it's still limited in supply. And people are stacking. I am certainly stacking, right? Everyone's stacking. It's a zero-sum game. You want to try to get as much as you can. And so I think over the long term, as economies are built on it, then just like if it's not crony capitalism like we have, if it's real capitalism, then as people exchange goods and services for value, right? For Bitcoin, they will accumulate Bitcoin, but they still need to do the same thing they're doing now by creating value and exchanging that value for quote unquote money. So it's not going to make anything more fair except for the people who are, enlightened enough, awake enough, get it enough. Just whatever the circumstance, the perfect storm that you somehow manage to get into Bitcoin early enough where you can accumulate enough that it'll change your life. But it's still going to be a lopsided system. Like the world will not evolve into this quote unquote utopia because of Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is a step in that direction, but I think we are, you know, a couple hundred years away from that.
So in my opinion, it's what you said before, right? Like everyone sees it from in a different angle, right? So you have your perspective, like I have my perspective.
We have a different perspective.
What do you mean? Like, is that a question?
Yeah, because you're making it sound like we have different perspective.
In the sense that, like, my perspective is like mankind has always had that hierarchical system, and I'll give you an example, right? So in 2015, right, I was dead broke, right? I was sleeping on a friend's couch. I didn't have a dollar to my name, right? And you know, like Bitcoin's pretty much pulled me up from the abyss, right?
Beautiful. I've been in that same situation. I totally understand that. Bitcoin didn't solve it for me, but yeah, I get it.
The question is like, why was I able to do that? Right. And what I've noticed, right, and this is really good, this is what I tell a lot of people, right, is that wealth isn't how much money you have. Wealth is a mindset. And I know that sounds corny and I know it sounds gay and so on and whatever you want to.
That's true. It's absolutely true.
If you think that you're, and I've seen this with people that are in severe poverty, right? If you're not hungry, if you're not like vicious, if you're not waking up every single day and you don't have this fucking, like, I really believe in projection. So like, if you really believe in something, it like becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the world can never become a utopia because of that fact, because a lot of people, right, especially like once you start going lower and lower on the economic scale, they don't have that intensity, that hunger. They have this victim mentality that's counterproductive to their success. Because like me and you, right? Like we see it from different angles. I love what you said earlier on, you're more of, you appreciate Bitcoin more on a psychological level, right? So I really like that, man, because it kind of gives me a different angle, a different perspective, and a different appreciation of it, right? So, but we both kind of have the same goals, right? Which is like, we got to stack as much as we possibly can, right? And we both do that, right? That's obvious, right? Dude, it takes a special type of person to take that risk, man. Not everyone's cut out to do that. You know, like people got families, people have worries. And I've noticed that, dude, people don't take that risk. Like in 2017, when it was all popular and it was cool and the taxi drivers, it's like, whatever. Dude, that was the worst time to get into Bitcoin, but that's when everyone was getting into Bitcoin. You needed a special type of person to hold through 2018 and 2019. You need to have some big ass balls, if you know what I mean, right? Yeah. So like this utopia that you speak of, it's like, bro, like perhaps we're 100 or 200.
Well, what I'm saying is Bitcoin's not going to create that utopia right away. Right away being in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 decades. That's all I would say.
Yeah.
I agree with most of what you're saying. And I think it's not even, I don't know, you know, using the word special connotates like maybe, and maybe you don't mean it this way, but better than, and I don't think it's about being better than someone else. You're the stew of all of your unique experiences, and that makes you think a certain way and see things a certain way. And so you just happen to come to Bitcoin. Dude, I found Bitcoin in 2010.
Really?
And I did nothing because my focus was on something. My focus was on personal development and other things. So I got a blockchain.com wallet. I don't know what I did with it. I don't think I ever bought it. I don't think I did anything with Bitcoin. It was definitely in 2010. I don't remember exactly when, but when I got back into Bitcoin for real in end of 2015, I was like, fuck, I know I did something. And I was scouring my old computer. Like maybe I did something and I have some amount of it. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. So I have a similar story. I bought and used Bitcoin for the first time, like 2012, 2013, but I used it to buy something with it.
Mm.
I didn't keep it. Right. And I used it multiple times. And I had the block and I would send the transactions or whatever. But it's like
Bitcoin, or you didn't keep what you bought? Did you smoke what you bought?
No comment.
You mentioned psychedelics earlier. So like we're on the same page when it comes to that.
You bought tea, Earl Grey tea.
I bought some some delicious tea with it, right?
Yeah.
Silky smooth.
Beautiful.
If you catch my drift. Anyways. Dude, it's what you said, right? It's like people's experiences, right? So it's like at that time, neither of us were like, we were in our own fucking worlds, man. We were doing our own thing, right? So it's like, it all goes back to that, like, it's like Bitcoin is so different to different people at different moments in time. Like in 2010, you looked at it as like a novelty. You're like, oh, this is cool. Let me download the wallet, whatever, experimentation. I bought it and I used it as a currency, right? I don't see it as I didn't see it as like a store of value. Anyways, man, this has been a super long podcast. Let's end it here, dude. I always end the podcast with I always ask people like, what's your favorite ice cream?
My favorite ice cream. Let's see. My favorite ice cream. Well, I like gelato. Gelato's dope. And I like a lot of the flavors. I would say like tiramisu gelato.
Tiramisu gelato. All right. Dope. Yeah. The reason I ask is because I'm putting in an Excel sheet of like all the people I've interviewed. And I'm like, I'm just putting up their fucking ice cream flavors. I'm going to make that like a Google sheet or something. Anyways, Guys, I hope
you want to send, you can buy me and send me some ice cream. I got a dead drop you can send it to.
Anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed the collab between Keep It Simple Bitcoin and the Crypto Creamers. If you guys like what you see, don't forget to like and subscribe to both of our fucking channels and follow us on Twitter. All right, guys, I'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.